voices that every Christian should hear. And I'm afraid sometimes we hear them, sometimes we don't, and sometimes it may be a long time since you have heard them. So we're going to look in Mark, Luke, and Acts. And I've got, if you've got the outline, I've got the verses of Scripture that it's coming from, but there's just three actual verses that I want us to look at. And beginning with in Mark chapter 16, we're going to look at verse 15. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." And then over in Luke chapter 16, verse 24. So he called to them, "Father Abraham," or called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." Now over in the book of Acts, verse 9, chapter 16, verse 9. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Bree, would you lead us in prayer? Amen. Voices. You know, we're bombarded every day by voices. On the radio, on TV, on your phone. And I mean, voices are everywhere. And some of it you don't want to hear. Some of it you don't have a choice. You have to hear. But we're surrounded by voices. No matter, unless you're a hermit somewhere and you're not around anybody. But we hear the voices of our family is another voice and friends, and those are usually enjoyable. I used to get tickled with Rachel and Sarah when they were little. When I didn't hear their voice, I knew they were up to something. You know, kids never figure that one out. You know, they're loud until when they get quiet, when's the time to go look? When they get quiet. But their voices... And I get tickled with Wyatt and Ezra. It's the same thing. And I'm sure it was the same thing with me and my brother. We couldn't figure out how Mom knew we were up to meanness because we got quiet. So that's what happens. The voice, those voices are familiar. And you think about the ones that you know, the children, your grandchildren. When they're afraid, you know that voice. When they're excited, you know that voice. When they're happy, you know that voice. When they're sad or disappointed, you know that voice. Those are the voices you recognize, and they're meaningful to you. Because voices are important. I used to get tickled, you know, I majored in psychology, and the idea of hearing voices when nobody's there is not necessarily a good thing. You know, we hear these voices, and they're not exactly right there with you, but you're hearing voices. That may not be a good thing. But hearing good voices that you recognize, they make you feel good. And that's what we're going to talk about, three voices that you need to hear. And if you've not listened to them in a long time, I challenge you to start to turn your ear and listen to what we're going to look at in Mark, Luke, and the book of Acts. These are the voices, these three, that should really hit hard with us. Hit hard and into our hearts. There's voice one calling, there's one crying, there's one pleading. What do we do when we hear these voices? So the first one is going to be the voice of God. We hear God say that, "I want you to go out and make disciples, teaching and preaching, and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." We know that's the Great Commission. I hear people say, "Oh, if I only knew what God wanted me to do. If I only knew what God had in store for me, what he wants me to do as a Christian." It doesn't matter whether it's here or across the globe. God has the same plan for all of us. "Go ye therefore." And as Christians, we get wrapped up into not going. We get wrapped up into everything else we're involved in. We get wrapped up in all the things that we want or we're involved in. We forget that God, the very first thing he tells us to do is to go. And to go preach. Well, I hear somebody say, well, I'm not a preacher. That's not exactly what he means. Be a witness is what he's really talking about. We're all witnesses. We're all ministers. We're all told to go and share the gospel. And he's pretty clear what he's telling you to do. Me, you, everyone that is a born-again believer is being challenged to go out and share the gospel. That is the number one thing that you and I as Christians are supposed to do. Preach means to teach, to tell, to share a testimony that only you can do. Your only testimony that you know anything about is your personal testimony. And he's telling us to go out and share that testimony with everybody around us. You know, we talk about our growth and what we need to do, but there's also something that as Christians, we have to be challenged to be out there working and doing what God has asked us to do. We have a responsibility. It's about a one-on-one experience between us and another person. And you could just simply ask, you know, invite them to church. You could simply talk to them about Jesus. You could certainly talk about what's going on in their life. And you can share the gospel with them through what you've experienced with God. That's what he's telling us to do. When he says preach the gospel, he's just telling you to go out and tell other people about him. Share your testimony with those people that are in your world. You think about, go ye therefore. Is it a command or is it a plea? Is it a command or is it a plea? You think about it. It's a little bit of both. Go ye therefore, and he's also saying, please go therefore. Because the only way that they're going to know about salvation is that you tell them. That you share Jesus Christ with. And you think about us as Christians, when was the last time we shared Jesus Christ with anybody? I don't care if it's at school, or if it's at the lake, or it's at work, or it's at home, or the grocery store, wherever it may be. If an opportunity comes up, tell them about Jesus. If you can't do that, at least just invite them to church. That's always a foot in the door when you just say, why don't you come to church? You know, I go over here to Mount Vernon Baptist Church, and we would love to have you come and be with us. We can all do that, right? That's something very simple that we all can do. It's called opportunity witnessing, that when the opportunity arises, we just share the gospel, we witness to that person. And anything can be an opportunity to share the gospel. Anything. So God's, the first voice of God is crying out to you. He's crying out to me. He's saying, go, please go and spread the gospel. Tell everybody else about Jesus. Tell everybody about the life-changing experience that they could have through the blood of Christ. Opportunity witnessing. If you're at the lake and you're talking to someone, invite them to church. If you're at the grocery store and you know, you're talking, invite them to church. Or wherever you may be, just invite them. But if you feel led to share Jesus Christ with them, that's even better. So God is saying that voice that you and I need to listen to is go. Go, go, go. Too many Christians want to stay. And God is telling us to go. The second voice that we ought to hear is a very sad voice. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31 talks about a rich man and Lazarus. It's the voice from hell. You have a rich man. Let's just kind of go over the story just real quick. You have a rich man who was fine purple clothing. He was fine linen. In other words, he was very, very rich. He ate very, very well. I'm sure he never wanted for anything. He was never hungry. He was probably never hot. He was probably never cold. He probably had everything he ever wanted. He didn't want for anything. Everything was there for him. Then there's Lazarus. You know, here he is, just the poor beggar he talks about how he's full of sores. Can you imagine being poor and no one cares about you, and you can't go to the doctor, and there's no way to get treatment, and he's just full of sores, which talks about, you know, just what terrible physical shape he must have been in. The Bible says he ate the crumbs from the rich man's table. Can you imagine eating crumbs off of somebody's table that they just drop? Or they, you know, in other words, what he is saying is, it's the stuff that you and I throw away. That's what Lazarus was eating. And then he was so sick and so weak that the dogs would come along and eat and lick his sores. That's an awful thought, that he couldn't even fend off the dogs as they would lick his sores. So he's destitute, he's sick, he's hungry, he can't even shoo away the dogs. And here he's in a terrible situation. So the next scene that we have, the Bible says that they both die. The Bible says that the rich man died and was buried and went to where? He went to hell. So the rich man had everything he wanted here on earth. But I guarantee he would trade it all for just another moment. Trade it all for one more moment. And then you have Lazarus, who's on the other hand. He died and was carried to the bosom of Abraham. In other words, he went to heaven. So we have this voice. We have voices from hell. Verse 23 tells us, this is the rich man. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cries, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. We have a man who's in hell. He sees Lazarus. He knows that Lazarus was the one, the beggar that he stepped over, the beggar he mistreated, the beggar that he didn't treat well. He didn't take care of him. He didn't have any time for him. Now Lazarus is in heaven and the rich man's in hell. And so he looks up and he sees the situation. He sees where he's at. Mercy, kindness, and love go such a long way. Just think if the story would be changed, if the rich man had taken Lazarus in and fed him and clothed him and made sure that he was healthy. But that's not the story. I get tickled when you think about people. Everybody in the world believes in mercy when they need it. They don't necessarily believe in mercy when it's something they can offer to somebody else. But whenever we are in a situation, we all believe in mercy. That's like the Good Samaritan, the man who was beaten on the side of the road. That we would pray that everybody that came along was the Good Samaritan. But most of the time, we're the priest and Levite. We just kind of walk around and go our own way. But the voice is crying out, Father Abraham, please send Lazarus. And just let him dip his finger, the tip of his finger, in water. And just a little drop of water, I am tormented in this flame. So that gives us an idea of what hell is going to be like. We get the idea that hell is going to be a place of torment. It's going to be a place of a fire. It's going to be a place where he feels like he's burning at all times and he can't get relief. He's thirsty. He can't get relief. He's in pain and tormented. He cannot get relief. Father Abraham reminds him. He says, remember, good thing you had all the good things in life. You had everything that you ever wanted. You had everything that you could ever ask for. You didn't know, you didn't care about anybody else around you. You didn't show mercy or kindness to anybody. And now that you have left the earth and you've come down here, you're in torment. You're in torment. And he says, and besides that, there's a gulf between you and I. You can't come over here, even if I said so. You can't cross over. You cannot come here. We can't come there. Your time of opportunity is past, and I think that is such a terrible, heartbreaking thing. You think about that here this rich man is crying out. He'll never have a second chance. He'll never have another opportunity. He'll never have a chance to accept Christ as his Lord and Savior because it's over with. His chances are gone. There are no second chances once we go from this world to the next. Saying you are separated from God forever. So he comes to the point where he's thinking, all right, if I can't help myself, maybe I can help somebody else. So the rich man cries out. He says, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send Lazarus to my father's house. Send him to my father's house. I have five brothers. Testify unto them, lest they also come into the place of torment. In other words, the rich man saying, please, Abraham, send Lazarus up there, that he can go into my father's house, and he can talk to my brothers, and he can tell them about this being a torment or versus being in heaven. He says, tell them that they need to change their ways, that they need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father Abraham responds, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And in other words, Father Abraham is saying that the prophets and the law have, and Moses have geared and looked towards the Messiah. They want to know about it. They need to go back and look at the prophets. They need to look back at Moses. And they need to look in the Old Testament and see what it is about the Messiah and what they need to do. And so the rich man says, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they'd repent. Do you hear the desperation in this man's comments? He's desperate. It's too late for him. It's too late. I think one of the, just think for a moment, you know, we talk about hearing the voice of God who's telling us to go. The second one is hearing the voice of someone who's in hell, who's crying out. Can you just imagine if we could hear those voices, literally or actually hear the voices of people that we should have shared Jesus Christ with and we didn't, and we hear their voice crying, yelling up to us. How sad would that be? The voice of those we've let slip into eternity because we didn't share the gospel with them. God says for us to go. And the reason why he tells us to go, so people don't have to end up in hell like the rich man. If we go, then there'll be no pleadings. There'll be no crying out because there won't be anybody there. But we. Sad thing is, Jesus Christ, to a lot of Christians, is the best kept secret that we have. We don't want to tell anybody about him. And that's wrong. So we hear God's voice saying, go. We have the man from hell pleading that Lazarus would go to his family. That he doesn't want anybody else to come down there. He's crying out saying, no one should be down here. I don't want anybody to experience this hell that I'm in. The third voice is the voice of that lost person. This is the one that still has a chance. The rich man has no other chance. But the voice of the lost person has another chance. This is not an unknown voice. You know who they are. You can write down right now five people without batting an eye who are lost. You know five people right now that are lost. You know five people that need to know God's love. You know five people that need to know salvation, or they too will join the rich man. Verse 9 again, it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia saying, and prayed unto him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we have God telling you to go. We have a rich man trying to stop everybody from coming down there. And then you have a lost person that's hollering, I need to hear something different. There's something that I need to know. There's something out there that's pleading. You know, you look in the eyes of people today and it seems like they're, you know, there's so many desperation. Their lives are just not complete. Their lives are not really fulfilling. It's because they don't have that inner peace. They don't have that salvation. You know, you don't have to travel actually to Macedonia. You can go next door. You can go to work. You can go to your family. You go to your friends. We think of that as going to Macedonia is actually listening to God And in going, Paul went, and people got saved. Voice is crying out, I need help. I need something different. What I have every day is not good. I need to hear more about life. I need to hear a different thing about life. I need to hear about God's word. I need to know about hope. Wonderful thing is, Paul goes. And immediately we endeavor to go into Macedonia. And when he got there, the word of God would travel like wildfire. Because Paul was obedient to what God had asked him to do. Now, remember the three voices. God is telling us to get up and to go. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, will come upon you, and ye will be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the earth. Jerusalem means home. Judea is you know, you think would be Russell County or Kentucky. Samaria would be the United States. Then the uttermost parts of the earth. But it always starts at home. It always starts around our home. It always starts in the immediate influence that we have on other people. And then we talk about the voice of hell. Voice from hell pleading out to God to send you and me to them. To your family. I don't want to hear my friends or my family like that rich man crying out in torment. There's no one that I have ever met that I would want to go to hell. But how many times do we just let them slip away from us and we don't share the gospel with them? Please go. Let's share the gospel. We're so busy about everything else. Let's be busy about that. And he says, the voice of the lost. Please come here. Please come and share the gospel. Tell me about God's love. Tell me about what Jesus Christ did. Tell me what it means to be forgiven. And it can simply just start by just inviting someone to church. You know, it's got to start somewhere. It's got to start somewhere. So you think about some of the takeaways that we have from this. God calls us to go. God never intended us to stay. He never intended us to be content not doing anything. That's not what he wants. To go. And in today's world, there's so many ways we can go. We can go by our cell phone. We can just call somebody. We can write somebody. There's just so many things we can do that would be considered to go. The second thing is, we must go and share what? The gospel, the truth, salvation. Number three, the voice that we hear from hell is such a sad, sad voice. Number four, this voice from hell is calling out for a second chance. But one will never be given. Isn't that the saddest thing in the world? You know, the rich man crying out for another opportunity, and it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen for him. The voice is avoidable. If only believing in Jesus Christ, that's how it would have kept the rich man from being in hell and torment. Number six, the voice of the lost cannot be ignored. We try to ignore it. We try to go about our busy day. We try to do things that keep our mind occupied. But there's lost up there that are just pleading. And they need to know about Jesus. You must hear the voice of the lost. You know, we can pretend like we don't, but it's there. We can pretend like it. We don't notice them, but they're there. The last thing is we have to respond. We can't ignore anymore. We can't ignore anymore the lost. You know, we always talk about end times. We always talk about how we're getting closer and closer and closer. If you truly believe that, how much more active would we be in sharing the gospel with people? If you truly believe that we're getting closer and closer to the end times and it's just right around the corner, would that not cause us to be more active in sharing the gospel? Because when the Lord does come, he's coming in the blink of an eye. And how many billions of people are going to be left behind because we've not shared the gospel? We're not talking about one or two. We're talking about billions, aren't we? They're going to be left behind. And I know you and I can't reach billions, but we can reach one, can't we? We can reach two. We can reach three. But we've got to go and we've got to reach. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you that you call us to go, and then you give us the example that we can go to Macedonia, we can share the gospel with people so they don't end up like the voice in hell that crying out saying, I don't love it down here, I hate it down here, please send someone to my family so they won't have to be here. Father, convict our hearts, give us opportunities every day to be able to share the gospel with somebody, that we might be able to share your love with a lost and dying world. Father, we just thank you that you love us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, that if we'll just believe upon him, we can be saved. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.